J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Girl, oh girl, you're looking so fine tonight, girl. And I told you I'd make love to you all night long.
All night long.
But girl,
girl,
oh girl,
ooh girl,
let's try to be realistic, girl. Nobody really makes love all night long.
That's impossible.
Though that would be impressive, girl. It's a little bit excessive, girl.
Too much.
And it would probably get uncomfortable to be that sexual.
Chafing.
And don't forget that we have work tomorrow.
8 a.m.
So we should really make sure we get some sleep. But girl,
girl,
I'll make love to you the best I can. But it's not gonna last real long.
Honesty.
Well, I apologize in advance. I can probably give you 7 minutes.
7 minutes.
If you don't move around too much. Otherwise, I'll probably give you 4 minutes.
4 minutes.
Cause when you move, I get excited, girl. And hey,
hey,
is it cool if I leave my shirt on, girl? Cause I just had a big dinner.
Boston Market.
And I'm struggling with some negative body issues. Girl, I would love nothing more than to make sweet honey dip love to you till the break of dawn. But unfortunately, sex is something that I'm just not very good at. So please, girl, just try not to laugh at me, no matter how awkward this gets. Girl,
girl,
let's talk sexual positions, girl. I hope you like the missionary.
Tried and true.
Cause that's the only one that I'm really comfortable with. And girl, just one more quick little thing, girl. Please feel free to fake an orgasm.
I won't know.
Cause that'll make me feel like I'm doing well. Oh, girl.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Friday, April 28th, 2023. How you doing, kids? You are at jconline.com. I'm getting a little concerned about the flooding upstream in the the Quad Cities area there, Moline and Davenport. Bettendorf and, what's the other one? Moline? I should have looked that up before I started talking. I tried to get a job there for years. There was a radio station there. I still remember KSTT. And it was a top 40 station, and man, did I want to work there. Oh, I went there. I bet you I drove from Chicago to the Quad Cities, which is about a 3.5-hour drive. I bet you I drove out there 6 or 7 times trying to get a job, and I never could do it. But anyhow, the whole place is underwater. And you know what? It's underwater almost every year. Kathleen Madigan, that was one of her very first bits that people started to remember and remember her name when she was talking about the flooding in the Midwest. On one hand, it's tragic because you just see all of the devastation. You see all these poor people put out. So many families, they just lose everything. And every once in a while, somebody dies too because they drown. But at the same time, she's got a point. You're living in an area that is dry sometimes, but it's also wet sometimes. And here's a little wake-up call for everybody. Even though it's been really disappointingly cool in St. Louis this week. As a matter of fact, let's see what's happening here.
7 degrees.
It's only 57 degrees right now in St. Louis here.
Yeah. We're looking at temperatures around the area in the mid to upper 50s.
And the pools open in 28 days. That's the Memorial Day holiday. Now, I'm looking ahead here, and it doesn't get above, it's going to be 72 for the high in St. Louis today, but then it's 60s all the way through the middle of next week. And then you start to see a 71 and a 76 and stuff like that. But the pools will be opening in a month. If you are a regular listener to the show, to the podcast, whatever, you know that for years I've been saying that, I've been watching baseball since I was probably 4 years old. I had the advantage of growing up in Chicago and having both the Cubs and the White Sox games on. And then when I would go to my grandfather's house up in the far northern hinterlands of the greater Chicagoland area, we would get the Milwaukee television stations. And sometimes, back then it was the Milwaukee Braves, Warren Spahn and people like that. So I watched a lot of baseball, both in person and on TV. And at least two times every single year that I've been watching baseball, I see something I've never seen before. And then there are the obvious ones, like back in the 80s when Kevin Mitchell of the San Francisco Giants ran full speed into the left field corner, looked up, realized the ball was on the wrong side of his body, so he just reached up with his bare hand and caught the ball, stuff like that. There was a play in the, I'm trying to remember who it was, I have the audio somewhere buried in my archives, where there was a ground ball to the third baseman, and the ball bounced up, hit him in the chest, and went inside his jersey. So he's standing, there's a guy standing on first, poor guy, he's trying to get the ball out of his shirt. There have been circus-like plays involving the Cardinals and other people that you just look and you go, how is that athletically possible? You had a situation back in the, let me get this right, yeah, this would have been the 80s too. The old configuration of the old Busch Stadium, there was no barrier, there was no guard or anything going into the two dugouts back then. And it was a Mets catcher who went running towards the first base dugout, the Cardinal dugout, running full speed, trying to catch a foul ball, and had to slow himself down, so he slid and ended up going right into the Cardinal dugout, and that was the one that broke John Tudor's leg. And of course, there was the Jose Canseco thing back in the 80s, where he goes running into the right field, well, not the right field corner, but he goes running towards the right field fence, and it was a fence back then, and he went running and running and running, and he looked up, and the ball bounced off the top of his head and over the fence for a home run. I saw a thing in a Cubs game back in the 1960s where, the umpires have a little pouch with the baseballs in them, and that way they can just reach him. You need a ball, and then the ball boy gives him another pocket full of balls, when there's a stoppage of play or in between pitches or something like that. And there was a play at the plate, and the umpire came running over, and one of the balls from his pouch popped out right next to the ball that was in play, because there was a play at the plate, and the catcher picked up the ball that was closest to him, which was not the ball that was in play. So those are some of the more obvious ones, that are just so weird that you just really never forget them. So yesterday in the Cardinals game against San Francisco, I saw a Kisner do something I've never seen anybody do before. There's a swinging bunt that goes out, a few feet in front of home plate, but there's a runner on third who's trying to score, and Kisner runs out, grabs the ball, which, like I said, only a few feet in front of the plate, and then turns around and dives towards home plate, where his outstretched arm is able to tag the runner out trying to score from third base. Never have seen that before. Cardinals played a real good-looking game yesterday. It's the first time in a couple of days where I've seen them really, really play well. And I don't know what the explanation is for that notation under John Mozeliak's name, the general manager for the Cardinals. You go to Wikipedia, somebody pointed this out to me yesterday, and I posted it, and they have John Mozeliak listed as having been the former general manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. I have no idea. I guess people just, if you want to, pretty much anybody can get on Wikipedia and make a notation or change the text of what it says under your name or your business or whatever it is you're looking for. I thought that they had fixed that, so you can't do it, but apparently, somebody did. I'm puzzled by the reaction to the death of Jerry Springer. Because when I saw it yesterday, it broke right in the middle of the podcast yesterday. We announced it yesterday morning. And then the accolades started coming in. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm not saying you got to trash the guy. I mean, he's dead and everything. So what would be the point of that? But accolades? I'm not so sure. And by the way, women the women just going on and on and on about how Jerry Springer's going to be missed. And, oh, I used to watch your show. And it's like, wait a minute. Didn't Jerry, you know, and supposedly Jerry Springer was actually a very, very nice guy and very intelligent. And he was in politics for a while. But again, how intelligent are you when you end up losing your job as mayor of Cincinnati because you pick up a hooker and write a personal check to pay for her services, which some enterprising young journalist went digging up and said, did you pay a hooker with a personal check? Yeah, why? You're not mayor anymore. You know, I think that's when the city of Cincinnati stopped using the 15th caller as a way to nominate candidates for mayor. I mean, in my view, I don't care how nice a guy he was, what he did publicly was responsible for the dumbing down of this country on a level we had never seen before, and really set off a firestorm then of copycat shows, and I think really did damage to the overall mental health of this country, not to mention the damage he did to the broadcast industry. So I'm sorry, I don't get it. And this is fun. This is really fun. So when the Fox News Channel people realized they were going to have to get rid of Tucker Carlson, somebody said, well, you know, what if he comes after us? What if he tries to sue us for wrongful termination? And somebody said, I don't think we have to worry about that. And they're like, why is that? Well, we've been collecting dirt on him for quite some time now. And so if he tries to come back and get us, he tries to sue us or trash us or do something like that, we have this entire file of stuff that we can release, and we're pretty sure it would ruin his day. I mean, how much worse can it be than the stuff he did publicly on the air every night? But that's what they say. And somebody had the pleasure of sitting in a room with Mike Pence for 5 hours yesterday. 5 hours with Mike Pence. All I can think about is, you know, if you're on a long distance car ride and it's your turn to drive, but you're tired and you start getting the nods. And at the same time, I mean, how, if you're Donald Trump, could you sit there yesterday knowing that Mike Pence was testifying in front of the feds about you and that he knows everything? He knows where all the bodies are buried. I don't know. Donald Trump's the front runner for the Republican nomination right now, but I don't know how long he's going to be able to stay in the race. Something just tells me that one of these days a bomb is going to be dropped and it's going to change everything. Even the Trump supporters will have to say, oh boy, geez. Yeah, that's not good. Who else we got? Nikki Haley? Yeah. And call me crazy, I've been called worse. I still think the name Mike Pompeo is going to factor into the Republican nomination for president somehow. I'm telling you. And by the way, I think he would be a formidable opponent. He'd be a formidable candidate. So, you know, watch this space. Vacation, all I ever wanted. I guess that's what you do now. You're supposed to go on, whether it's radio or a podcast, whatever, and sing along. You're supposed to sing now. Casey is just coming apart. It's just, the place is just coming apart. Now, they said really, really awful things about me when I started at Casey back in 1984. And people said I would never last and that sort of stuff. But this new guy, normally I wouldn't attract any attention to it. It's like, let him, you know, let him sink on his own. He doesn't need any help from me. But if you haven't heard this guy in the afternoon, he's been on the air like 4 days and people have had it. They got trouble over there. They got big, big trouble over there. If only there were a new radio station that did things the right way and presented an alternative to, well, never mind for now. Yesterday, I was talking about the fact that I have all of my yearly planners going all the way back to 1982. So if you ask me where I was on a certain date, who I was with, what I was doing, what was happening on the show back then, who did we have? Did I go somewhere where we broadcasting live from a remote location? You know, anything that happened, cultural events, major concerts, all stuff like that. So I have all of that stuff, all of that data going all the way back to 1982. But I also have a couple of main events, if you will, that took place even earlier than that. Yesterday, we were talking about something in 1976 in Flint, Michigan. And today, I can take you all the way back to 1971. Let me try to set the stage here. I'm a senior in high school, and I'm a pretty good pitcher. But there's another guy on the team that is a sort of baseball royalty because his father had actually been, well, I think he was Rookie of the Year. Yeah, here he is. Ray Jablonski, born December 17, 1926, the third baseman who played all or parts of eight Major League Baseball seasons between 1953 and 1960. 1954 National League All-Star, played for Kansas City, San Francisco, New York, Cincinnati, and the St. Louis Cardinals. Lifetime batting average 268, 83 home runs. Oh, okay, here it is. Finished third in the National League Rookie of the Year Award, balloting behind Jim Gilliam and Harvey Haddix. So Ray Jr. was on my baseball team, St. Lawrence High School, back in 1971. And because he had that name, I was just Corcoran, you know, but he had that name and everybody was like, well, you know, his father played in the major league. So he was a big deal. Real good player. And not only could he pitch, but he could hit too. And I couldn't hit for shit. I still can't. But we are playing our arch rivals. I mean, we hated them. They hated us. They were sort of the rich kids in the, I guess you would say, the community just off to the side of our community. We were sort of the poor kids. They were the rich. I mean, they had a swimming pool. They had, we hated them. We just hated them. And so when any of our teams, whether it be baseball, football, whatever, played the others' team from Brother Rice High School, and by the way, right across the street from Brother Rice High School, which was all boys, you had Mother Macaulay High School, and that was like 2,000 women, all girls. That's where Jenny McCarthy went to school. So we're playing these guys, and Ray Jablonski is pitching, and a guy from Brother Rice hits a line drive right up the middle, right off Ray's face. And I mean, it made a cracking sound. That, you know, it sounded like a tree branch cracking. And he went down like he was shot. As I recall, the ball hit him in the left cheekbone. And before the ambulance got there, it already had swelled to twice its normal size. He looked like Quasimodo, I swear to God. And I'm thinking to myself, is he even going to live? Is he going to lose an eye? So they carted him away in the game. I mean, the game stopped for like a half an hour. And then we resumed play and we need a new pitcher. And of course, Corcoran, go warm up. Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot for that. So go out there on the mound. And I still remember this. Go out there on the mound. And there were big blobs of blood all over the mound and all over the pitching rubber, because he was bleeding all over the place. Well, we graduated like, I don't know, 10 days later, and I never saw the guy again. I didn't even know if he lived or not until a couple of years ago when I ran into some guys from my old graduating class. And I'm like, no, he's fine. He survived it fine. But boy, at the time, scared the living bejesus out of me. And, you know, you're the guy who gets to go out there and resume the game. That was on this date in 1971. Before you know it, you're going to blink, and it is going, well, you already talked about the pools being open in 28 days. It's going to be vacation season. Kids will be out of school, and off we go. A 19-year-old woman got arrested at the Phoenix airport this week for assaulting three TSA agents because they took her apple juice. She flipped out and walked around a barrier to grab the bin with all of her stuff in it, but they wouldn't let her, so she jumped on a table, hit a TSA agent in the head, and ripped his shirt. When they tried to restrain her, she punched a female TSA agent and yanked her ponytail. Then she bit a third agent who tried to stop her. Two agents ended up in the hospital, and 450 passengers were inconvenienced. Everyone had to go to a different checkpoint and line up all over again. This chick is facing charges for assault, criminal damage, disorderly conduct, and might be looking at fines, too. You can get hit with up to $14,000 in fines for abusing a TSA agent. And along that same line, a Virgin Australia flight attendant is racking up hits on TikTok with answers to questions she gets all the time. Here's a few. Yes, the tap water is safe to drink. It's filtered and clean. I don't believe that. Here's one you may not have known. The reason window shades need to be up during takeoff and landing is because you can see the engines, but the flight attendants can't. They need you to let them know if something happens, like, oh, excuse me, Miss Flight Attendant, engine number 2 appears to be on fire, or engine number 2 appears to be missing. Now, in terms of the doors, you would have to have superhuman strength to open a door mid-flight. And the reason carry-on bags have a weight limit is because the overhead bins can only hold so much poundage. So she also answered the age-old question, do you get more drunk on a plane? The answer is yes, because of the lower oxygen percentage in the air, which affects the alcohol effects on you. Little science news here today. We might finally know why bugs are attracted to light bulbs. Basically, they're just dumb, and they think any bright light is the direction of the sky. Study in Germany found lead singers' vocals have gradually gotten quieter and quieter in pop songs over the last 75 years. There's Billie Eilish. Does going to happy hour with coworkers help you climb the ladder and get promoted? A study in Japan said maybe not. And a poll found more Americans think humans will be on Mars by 2040. 56% said yes, which is up from 49% last year. ESPN reporter Marley Rivera has lost her job for calling a rival reporter a fucking cunt. I get a charge out of it when women use the C word. I don't know why, it just makes me laugh. It was on this date back in 2012, we had one of those massive hailstorms in St. Louis. I was a very good friends with a gal who was dating a guy who was a mercenary, basically, for one of these dent companies that takes the dents out of your car. And, you know, it's really a weird job to have, because you're just like in Oklahoma City for 3 months, and then you're in Columbia, Missouri for 3 months, and then you're in Bettendorf, Iowa for 3 months. These companies that remove dents, they just send all of their men and women to the places that end up with these hailstorms. And you just sort of live there for 2 or 3 months doing all this work. And man, was he making the money. When he told me he was making $200,000 to $300,000 a year removing dents out of people's cars, man. Paul McCartney played Busch Stadium back on this date, well, like tomorrow's date, in 1993. Josh Hancock killed on Highway 40 on tomorrow's date in 07. And in 1986, on Sunday's date, in 1986, the general manager and the program director from KLOS in Los Angeles flew to St. Louis and wanted to meet me at the airport. So I went up there and I met him at the airport, and they offered me a whopping $150,000 a year to come and do mornings in Los Angeles. I told them, do you know what I'm making here in St. Louis? And they said, no. I said, $150,000 a year. So how is $150,000 a year going to cover my housing and living expenses in fucking Los Angeles? I would have to have like $500,000 for me to even just, you know, maintain a similar lifestyle because of the cost of living in Los Angeles. And their response was, yeah, but you know, pretty much all of the people that we have working at the radio station have some sort of a side gig. They sell scripts to Hollywood for situation comedies and evening dramas, and some of them work on game shows and this and that. I said, didn't you tell me at the beginning of this meeting that you weren't really happy with the effort that seemed to be going into the radio station? Did you consider that that might be the reason why? That people are giving you part of their best effort, but they're giving the guy who's going to buy a script for Alf, they're paying as much attention to that as they are to the radio station. And the two guys looked at each other, looked at me, and got back on the plane, and I never heard from them again. I guess I said the wrong thing, but it was true. And there was no way I was going to do that. The same thing happened in Chicago. That was also in 1986. Same year. Come to work at WLS in Chicago. Okay, how much? $150,000 a year. That's what I'm making here now. Would have been interesting, though. Would have been very, very interesting. But you know, this came up in conversation just the other day, as a matter of fact. I was talking about all these celebrities in Los Angeles and New York who have to have bodyguards and who have people stalking them and showing up at their house and, you know, saying nasty, making accusations against them. Really? really seeing all of that and really sort of coming close to being a national celebrity, which I did a couple of times, it cured me of ever wanting to do that. It's like, geez, if you're only famous or just recognizable, let's just put it that way, because famous sounds a little pretentious. But if people recognize you in one city, at least there's other places you can go to be anonymous. If you're a national celebrity, where do you go? There's no place to hide. Can't even go on a fucking vacation without somebody running up to you with a camera. Sorry? Not interested. All right, birthdays this weekend. Today, Jessica Alba, 42. Penelope Cruz, 49. Bridget Moynihan, 52. John Daly, the golfer, smokes, has sex three or four times a day, he says, drinks like a nut, gambles. He's lost $55 million gambling, this by his own admission, turns 57 today. Jay Leno, 73. Ann Margaret, oh man, back in the day. She's 82 today. Saturday birthdays, Uma Thurman, 53, Andre Agassi, 53, Eve Plum, that would be Jan from the Brady Bunch, 65, Michelle Pfeiffer, 65, Daniel Day-Lewis, 66, Seinfeld, 69, Willie Nelson is 90. On Sunday, Ana de Armas, 35, Diana Agron from Glee, 37, Gal Gadot, and I've heard it, Gadot and Gadot, and I don't know which one it is. Anyhow, Wonder Woman, 38, Kirsten Dunst, 41, Johnny Galecki from Big Bang, 48, and Burt Young, Rocky's no good brother-in-law, Pauly in the Rocky movies, is 83. In my life, I have had 8 episodes of kidney stones. 8. And I was sitting at the pool at Brentwood Forest once, and an older woman who had worked for a nephrologist for a couple of decades said, drink cranberry juice. It'll keep you out of the doctor's office. I'm like, come on. How the hell is cranberry juice going to keep you from having kidney stones? She says, I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. So I started drinking cranberry juice. Have not had a kidney stone episode since. I had one of those stones, by the way, that was lodged right in my, at the entrance to the bladder. I know this is starting to get really gnarly here, but it made you feel like you had to pee all the time and it wouldn't move. And for almost a month, I felt like I had to pee all the time. And so finally they said, okay, we're going to blast. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, okay, we send you to a surgery center, we knock you out, and then we have this thing that is basically like a spark plug, and it blasts the kidney stone, goes right through your skin, blasts the kidney stone something like 20,000 times a minute. And what it's supposed to do is break up the kidney stone, and then you pee gravel for a couple of days, which is exactly what happened. Sort of medieval, but it worked. So what the hell, right? Well, a woman heard that roller coasters can help you pass kidney stones, so she flew to Disney World to ride Big Thunder Mountain Island Railroad, and it worked. The morning after she rode it, she passed the stone. Smokey Robinson said he had a year-long affair with Diana Ross while he was married to his first wife back in the day. Says they're still close today. A Dodgeball sequel in the works with Vince Vaughn. I love this. I love this. I love this. There's a Christmas slasher movie in the works about a woman who saves her town from a serial killer, then wishes she was never born. The name of the movie, you think you're ready, don't you? You think you're ready. It's a Wonderful Knife. No more calls. We have a winner. And the first round of the NFL draft went down last night. Those poor players from Alabama have to take that huge pay cut now. And with that, Friday, April 28th, 23 edition of JC's podcast here. JC on the line is in the can. We're here every weekday morning at 11 with this slop that we throw together every day. I'll just bet you have friends and family members who love slop every day and would love the podcast, so please tell them about it. You may email me at jc@jconline.com, Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that JC is out there running his mouth. Let me read you a comment that he left to someone. Hello, Beth, you nasty cow.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.